my desire tonight. It's my desire to mind him. I've never went wrong minding the Lord. He's had me do some things I didn't want to do. But I've never went wrong minding the Lord. And I bless him for the day that he saved me. It's been a joy to be here this week. I appreciate your kindness and generosity of the camp, good fellowship we've had. I do appreciate that. We'll be traveling back tonight, and so if you'd pray for me extra, it's raining, amen. And a feller goes to getting tired the time he gets to Atlanta, and then he has a nervous breakdown. Somebody say amen. But the only thing about preaching in the Carolinas, you got to go through Atlanta to get here, amen. And what a trip. Boy, the Lord's been good to us this week. And I do appreciate the opportunity. I don't take it lightly that you've asked me to come preach, and I appreciate it. It's my desire to serve him. And I'm going to be honest with you, it's my desire to preach for him. And I've had folks to try to buy me. And but as of tonight, I've not been for sale. I've preached everywhere from a mule barn to the Philippines. I ain't got to have a steeple to go preach. And I'm glad the message still so tonight. Glad he still loves those sinners. Any of y'all ever heard the Hendersons sing? Y'all know the Hendersons? We first started our church, and we had them come. One Christmas, we didn't have a church at that time. We was in the home. And a feller let us have his barn. And Brother Jeff, we had a sheep there. Sort of a nativity sing. And I was going to be preaching that night. Got them up to sing. And had a little sheep. Got the blatant. And one of the men that was with me, still with me tonight in the church, went and picked that little sheep up. And he started crying. And the Henderson started singing, "Little Star of Bethlehem." That barn loft opened up at night. And the God of glory moved in. A lot of folks worshiping a building. But if God don't come in, it'll just be a building. Glad we got a God interested in his children tonight. Interested in what me and you are doing. Glad he's still walking in our midst. This day and this hour. I'm glad the Holy Ghost lives in me. Sort of like that rope on that bow I held the other night when I let go of it, it's still got a hold of me. I don't care where I go, Brother David, the Lord's there. And I love him and I thank him tonight. If you have a Bible this evening, if you turn with us over into Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. If you're glad that the Lord saved you, say amen tonight. Amen. Lord sure does have a sweet, sweet spirit under here this evening. Hey. it'd do you good just to wallow around on these altars. And thank Him. This thing wasn't burning on me, so I just unplugged the squall for about an hour. Sometimes it does you good. But we can still do that. We got time. I ain't got no place to be till Sunday morning. I'm glad of some folks hunting me to get home. Amen. I can't say this enough. I know some of you get tired of it, but I don't. I got some grand younguns looking for me. I thank the Lord how He's blessed. Has the Lord blessed you? Amen. Devil will never show you what you got. That's what you ain't got. I want to share this thought real quickly and then I'll get out your way tonight. Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23. About to pick up reading in the Bible in verse number 27. The Bible said, and there followed Him a great company of people. There's the women which also bewailed and lamented Him. But Jesus, turning unto them, said, daughters of Jerusalem, weep not for me, but weep for yourselves and for your children. For behold, the days are coming in which they will say, blessed are the barren, and the wombs that never bear, and the paps which never gave suck. Then shall they begin to say to the mountains, fall on us, and the hills cover us. For if they do these things in a green tree, what shall be done in the dry? There were also two other malefactors led with Him to be put to death. They were come to the place which is called Calvary. There they crucified Him. The malefactors, one on the right hand, the other on the left, and then said, Jesus, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. They parted His raiment and then cast lots, and the people stood beholding, and the rulers also with them derided Him, saying, He saved others. Let Him save Himself, if He be Christ, the chosen of God. The soldiers also mocked Him, coming to Him and offering Him vinegar, saying, if Thou be the King of the Jews, save Thyself. And a superscription also was written over Him in the letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. One of the malefactors which were hanged railed on Him, saying, if Thou be Christ, save Thyself and us. But the other answered and rebuked Him, saying, dost not Thou fear God, seeing Thou art in the same condemnation? We indeed justly, for we receive the due rewards of our deeds. But this man hath done nothing amiss. And he said unto Jesus, Lord, remember me when Thou comest into Thy kingdom. And Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. What a Savior. And it was about the sixth hour, there was darkness over all the earth until the ninth hour. And the sun was darkened and the veil of the temple was rent in the midst. And when Jesus had cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, into Thy hands I commend my spirit. And having said thus, He gave up
the Ghost. Father, we love you tonight. And Lord, I really want to try to settle down and listen to you this evening. I realize that there's a soberness under the tabernacle tonight for a reason. And Lord, with all my heart and all my soul and all my might and all of my mind and all of my spirit, I want to mind you. And I pray now you'd help me preach in the power and the unction of the Holy Ghost. Lord, no man can do this by theirself. And I need you to help me tonight to be a blessing. If it be one here lost, I pray that you would deal with their heart. Lord, if it be one here cold, I pray that you would deal with them. If it be one here discouraged, I pray you would encourage. We'll be careful to honor you and thank you for everything you do. Thank you for helping me this week, Lord. Thank you for a good place to preach. In Jesus' name I pray and ask you tonight. Amen. And amen. I'm interested in one verse tonight. In a text verse, it's found in verse number 33. And the Bible simply said, when they were come to the place which is called Calvary, there they crucified him. I want to preach tonight on this word of Calvary. Matter of fact, I want to pull my text from the thought. No other place in your Bible will you ever find the word Calvary. But here in Luke's Gospel, chapter number 23 and verse 33, you'll find it one time mentioned Calvary. And I'm going to preach on this simple subject this evening. On one time was enough. One time was enough. I want to say, according to the Word of God tonight, that one text was enough. You'll notice that in this reading in verse 33 that the Lord mentioned Calvary, but yet He never did mention it again. I want to say that it was a place of design. When God initiated this tree, He knew that He would put His Son on that tree for the sins of me and you and of this whole wide world. It was a place of design. It was a place of display. It was the cruelest place that's ever happened on a hill far away, where God, the God-man, holy and righteous, that had never known sin, that hung in a lonely place, but yet it was a very high place in the eyes of God. You see, it was a place of design. It was a place of display. And I want to say it was a place of determination. For before the foundation of the world, Calvary was not an accident, friend. God realizing what would take place in this old wicked world, that Calvary was not a place that God, it was not a place of afterthought, but it was a place of beforethought. Before God ever put the mud seals in this world, He seen the only begotten Son that would hang on an old rugged cross and take the sins of the people that they may be able to get to His world. And then on this thought tonight of this one text enough, I might would like to say that it was a place of great discovery. You see, here the Son of God died. The Lord referred to Him many times on the Beloved, the only, the greatest, the mostest, the one that was the dearest to His heart. And could I tell you tonight, maybe, just maybe, the reason that God never mentioned it again, but maybe God never did want to go back to that place again. Me and you, we know people that have lost loved ones dear to their heart. They never do want to go back by that tragic scene of what such an awful thing happened. And folks, tonight, could I remind you, maybe in the heart of God, He never even wanted to whisper that word by the Holy Ghost again, Calvary. I'll remind you that 3 hours that God darkened the sun, and there is the Lamb of God took your sin and my sin. God turned the lights out that He wouldn't even see His Son. I'd be careful of what I'd say about, well, people's went through this trial and that circumstance, and I know what I'd do if I was them, but I've learned this. My daddy had a saying in Tennessee that speaks volumes to my heart tonight. He'd always say this. He'd say, boy, everybody knows how to handle the bear till they get a hold of him. Be careful what you'd say, what you'd do in a situation, because me and you never do know what we'd do in a situation. But we do know when the Lamb of God hung at Calvary's cross, there the heart of God no doubt was gladdened, but no doubt it was very saddened that He put His Son to death. I sure am glad He took your place and my place, but my friend, in the heart of God, He never wanted to look toward Calvary again. Can I remind you, when He sees Him in a night, He might not see Calvary, but He sees the blood of His darling Son. For I am in Christ Jesus tonight. I'm hid and forever saved by the good grace of God, because the Lord put Him on Calvary's tree tonight. One text was enough. The Lord said, I'm going to talk about it one time. Mention Calvary. I've noticed some old timers when they've really been cut deep in their heart. I've heard them say this, Ken, I just would rather not go there. Ken, I'd just rather not talk about it. Ken, I'd just rather not let my mind go there. I just want to remind you that God got me through it. I want to tell you tonight, I don't care what you're going through, and I cannot say that I know what you're going through, but I do know enough in this Bible. We've got a God that lives in us, and He'll go through it with us. Hallelujah. I've seen enough as a young man that I wish it never happened. I hear a lot of folks saying, well, God won't hurt you. God will allow some things to hurt you, friend, but God will never harm you. He'll always get the honor and the glory out of every hurt in your life. I'm reminded the Bible said that we know that all things work together for good to those that love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. There are no accidents, my friend, in the great providence of God. God's got it all nailed down tonight. God knows where you are. God knows where I am. Hallelujah. I'm glad I'm going back tonight, riding down the road, realizing there's a God in heaven that's seeing about me. There's nobody can cross the line unless God lets them cross the line. I realize tonight there's a God that's got His hand on all of His children. Amen. Now, I'm not so crazy. If you go lay out on that yaller line, you're going to get run over, friend. But as long as a man is a-walking with the Lord and trusting Him and serving Him, as long as a man's saved by the grace of God, I sure am glad that we are His responsibility. I'm glad the all-seeing eye of God is about all of His children tonight. You say, preacher, what do you believe if you go out there and lay down on the yaller line? I believe you can get run over, amen. Don't tempt the Lord thy God, amen. I'm glad there's a God in heaven that knows where we all are tonight. One text was enough. He said, Holy Ghost, and by the way, I believe the Holy Ghost penned every word down in our King James Bible. I don't think we need another Bible tonight. We need to find out what's in this one we got. We need to live it and put it on our heart and realize God wrote it. And if He wrote it, then it means I need to hear something about it. Amen. Amen. I know a preacher can't take a text and shout it out every night. You remember this, if it turns to Genesis to Revelation, it'll be the right place. Because God wrote it and God talked about it. But I will remind you tonight, he never mentioned Calvary again in all of his Bible. One text was enough. Then I noticed this, that once was enough. Not only was one text enough, but one trial was enough. Now, you'll notice this in verse number 35. The people stood beholding, and the rulers also with him derided him, saying, he saved others, let him save himself, if he be Christ, the chosen of God. One trial was enough. You see, they accused him, and they abused him, and they afflicted him. They turned him from Pilate to Herod, back from Herod to the people. They said, crucify him, crucify him. Release unto us Barabbas. Barabbas ought to took him a lap, friend. Me and you ought to take a lap tonight. That he took our place. One trial was enough. And I want to say something. This trial's not what put him on the cross. Them Roman soldiers are not the one that put him on the cross. Me and you put him on that cross. The sins. God had to have a way. And this amazes me, fellas. God, you listen well. God is God, and he could have done anything he wanted to get us to him. But he chose a spotless lamb that he had sent his son on an old rugged cross and die for me and you, that one day we might could get to him and he also could get to us. Now I want to say that in this reading tonight, not only is there one text enough and not only one trial is enough, but you'll notice in verse 34, one truth was enough. You'll notice that this is the first time that it is mentioned when he cries in 34. Then said Jesus, Father, forgive them. Only from the cross could he say that. You can be baptized. Every catfish in the pond knows you by name. You can work your finger to the bone and you can give all your money away. But unless you come to Christ to the cross, there's no other forgiveness except by the way of the old rugged cross. And I sure am that glad that this truth is enough. I want to say here, we see that the Savior testified. Then we see that the Son was crucified. But also we see that the sinner was justified. In Romans chapter number 3 and verse number 24, being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Not only was this a place where the Savior testified and the Son was crucified and the sinner was justified, but I sure am glad that the Sovereign was satisfied. In Romans 5 verse 1, therefore being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. I want to say the Savior was testified. The Son was crucified. The sinner was justified. The Sovereign was satisfied. But I'm glad there was a sentence that was nullified. And then lastly, I want to say, I sure am glad there was a Satan that was terrified. Amen. I'm glad that hell ain't got no grip on us tonight. I'm glad Jesus went and got the keys of death and hell. And he went on an old rugged cross that we could all go to God's world tonight. And I praise him that one truth was enough. One text was enough. One trial was enough. But I want to say this also, that one track was enough. Bible said in verse 38, and a superscription also was written over him in letters of Greek, Latin, and Hebrew. This is the King of the Jews. Now the greatest tract that's ever been written was put upon the Lamb of God. Did you know the reason that this sign was put upon the Lamb of God? They always put it in front of them as they was headed toward Golgotha's hill to be crucified. It showed them what they were guilty of. I tell you what he's guilty of tonight. He is still the King of the Jews. And America would do good if they'd realize that that's God's chosen people. But by way of Calvary now, there's no difference between the Jews and the Gentiles. For the same Lord is rich over all that call upon the Lord tonight. I'm glad it was a posted sign. God put it up. I'm glad it was a proclaiming sign. As he walked through the streets of Jerusalem, he said, "This is the King of the Jews." Pilate asked him and said, "What do you say about this?" He said, "You done said it all. This is the King of the Jews." Honey, let me tell you, there's a God in heaven tonight that sent his only begotten Son that died for me and you. And I shout glory. I say, "Thank you, Lord, that you put that gospel track up on the old rugged cross and let people see and proclaim the good news of the Lord Jesus Christ tonight." The first gospel track God ever wrote was put above his Son. This is the King of the Jews. Matter of fact, I believe gospel tracts still work tonight. It is the Word of God that is the power of God unto righteousness tonight. The Bible said he chose the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. I sure am glad that he sent me the truth one day. I seen him as the wonderful Lamb of God. You see, Calvary once was enough. God never mentioned it again. One text was enough. One trial was enough. One truth was enough. One text was enough. But I'm going to tell you tonight, one thief would have been enough. I believe God. If that was the only one that ever been saved, there's a God in heaven that would have still sent his Son to die for me and you. Can I tell you, according to Romans chapter number 1, we all stand before God, there'll be no excuse. Man has the light of conscience. Man has the light of creation. And if a man rejects that, honey, let me tell you, Nicodemus come to Jesus by night, the most religious man in the Bible. He said, "Rabboni, we know thou art a teacher come from God, for no man can do these things lest God be with him." Jesus simply turned, not with a mean spirit. He said, "You must be born again." And if this was the only thief that had ever come to God by the way of the cross, God would have still sent his Son to die for the sins of this world. I'm glad he died for me tonight. You see, one thief was enough in spite of his condition. You say, "Preacher, he didn't deserve that." Mean you didn't either. In spite of his contention, I've been in some hard places and done some things I'm sorry about tonight. But I'm glad Calvary took me just the way that I was. There's a lot of people want to try to clean up and then come to Jesus, but friend, that don't work. If you'll come to Jesus, let him save you real good. He'll go to working with you on the inside. Then I believe it'll go reflecting on the outside. Somebody say amen right now. Them Pharisees and Sadducees, they had everything handled on the outside, but it was the inside that kept them out of heaven. Oh, tonight, one thief was enough. And then I love verse 42 and 43. We've all got to realize something, that one trust was enough. I've heard people say, well, you've got to be baptized to go to heaven. This thief wasn't baptized. I hear fellers, that's all they preach on is water, water, water. But Jesus said you must be born again. I don't know what they're going to do with this verse. Honey, this is grace, grace, grace. The Bible said in Ephesians chapter number 2, we're saved by grace through faith. It's not of works, lest some of us go to bragging about it. Boy, I sure am glad one trust is enough. So I'd like to leave this thought with you this evening. If you're going to heaven, are you going because the Bible tells you you can go? Are you going by the way this thief is going because he trusted in the Lord? Has there ever been a time that in your heart you have trusted the Lord? I'm not talking about have you joined the church. I'm not talking about are you a good person. But have you ever seen yourself like this thief, finally seen yourself and realize it's just you and the Savior and you need Him to get you to heaven? I sure am glad that I seen my condition one day. And there was a trust that developed up in my heart. Somebody said, Brother Ken, are you going to heaven because you dress? No. Brother Ken, are you going to heaven because you pastor a church? No. Are you going to heaven because you got a good heritage? No. I'm going to heaven because I've trusted the Lord Jesus Christ. And we all better agree on one thing. We might not all dot our I's and cross our T's and wear orange ties, but we all better agree on this statement. You've got to trust the Lord Jesus Christ in order for you and me to get to God's world. And I sure am glad one trust was enough. I believe after he got saved, if he'd have got down, he had tried to done better. Because I believe something would have been put in his heart to do better. I was preaching one morning and I noticed this. God allowed a cross to come into two men's lives. If it was not for a cross, neither one of these men would have been beside the Lord. And then the Holy Ghost showed me this thought. You see, when a cross comes in your life, you've got a decision whether to turn to the Lord or to turn away from the Lord. The best day in this thief's life was when he got caught and got put upon an old rugged cross. Hey, the best day in my life is when the Holy Ghost got me lost and showed me the Savior, and I realized that what I had wouldn't get me there. I love what he said to the other old thief. What you thinking, man? He said, we getting exactly what we deserve. But I come to tell you tonight, this man, the God man, hath done nothing amiss. I'll never forget the night, Brother David, I trusted him. I'd done been baptized, had the right haircut, had everybody fooled, meaner than a junkyard dog. That man got up to sing tonight talking about Brother Tim got his driver's license. We was raised out in the country, and when I got mine, I told him, I said, well, I'm going to start going to town to church. Let y'all go to your little old country church. I'm going up to town. You know what I done? I rode around the whole time, and I come back home and told a story. Yeah. Yes, I was so wicked, not proud of it. Had the best mom and daddy a young man could have ever had in this country, but they couldn't get me there. By the way, I got to tell y'all this before I leave. I got further drive than y'all do. My mama was 80 years old. Come to Liberty Baptist Church. I preached one morning. I said, if you'd come, trust Jesus. He'd save you this morning. My mama walked out in that aisle and I noticed something different about my mama. She was a trembling and she was a shaking. And I walked down and I grabbed her. She said, Lord, save me. She went and told everybody that the Lord had just saved her.
Amen, preacher. Amen.
She left out of this world, walked in His world. Last November. You know something? I've got to tell this real quick, and I'm going to close this story. Me and old boy, one night, we was a rabbit hunting. His car broke down. Mama had the back porch light on. That old boy broke down, big snow on the ground. He said, Ken, what we going to do? I said, look out through that holler up yonder. Yes, sir. Said, there's a light. Said, Mama's left the back porch light on. Me and that boy walked in there, was frozen. I got up in her funeral and I said, my mama might have just got saved. But I'm glad I had a mama left the porch light on. Amen.
Amen.
I sure am glad that she trusted our Lord. I'm glad, Brother Tim, the best she knowed how, she pointed me toward Him. But one day, Brother Rick, he come to where she was.
Amen.
You know what she said? Ken, that ain't never happened to me. I said, it won't but once. It won't but once. But I sure am glad I've got that once in my heart.
Yes, sir.
Brother David, I stand before the Lord tonight. And it's not because I try to serve Him, because I do. I want to serve Him, and I try to serve Him. But He'll let me in because of one reason. I trusted His Son. I want you to notice this in your Bible now as we end up in this passage. Verse 42, he said unto Jesus, Lord. He didn't say, remember us. Salvation's an individual thing. Remember me. And look what happens. Remember me when thou comest and thy kingdom. And then look what the Lord said in verse 43. Jesus said unto him, not them.
Yeah.
Verily I say. It don't matter what the Pope says, he's wrong. It's what Jesus says. He says, I say unto thee, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. And I want to say not only one thief was enough, one trust was enough, but one testimony was enough. Jesus said it, I'm going to believe it. Today.
Then verse 46, when Jesus cried with a loud voice, He said, Father, in Thy hands I commend My spirit. Having said thus, He gave up the ghost. One trip. Was enough. He ain't got to come back through here again. But I'm glad He's coming back. I like what the Bible said in verse 46. One trip was enough. Father, in Thy hands I commend My spirit. Having thus said this, He gave up the ghost. And by Him dying on that cross, you know what He done? He ushered in the way of the Holy Ghost. Now He comes in the presence of the Lord Jesus and He deals with the hearts of men. He convicts us of our sin. Jesus will never get on another cross. If you've got Him at home hanging on the cross, He ain't on the cross. I tell you where He is. He's on the right-hand side of the Father. In this amazing, our great intercessor, the go-between between us and God. The God-man. Isn't it amazing, Brother Rick? God put Him between two thieves as an intercessor. He grabbed a hold of one that trusted Him and He grabbed a hold of God. Ladies, if y'all would come tonight. It's amazing, God would do that for us. By simply one trust. That day I got saved, and I've been raised in religion all my life. I knew very little about the Bible. But I tell you what I did know. If I died that day, hell would have been my home. And I found out something else that day. That Sunday morning at Sandy Flat Baptist Church, just a little old country church way out in the pine trees in Georgia, the God of glory come to that church that morning. And this is what the Holy Ghost said. If you'd come, I'd save you this morning. Brother Rick, I know folks' experience is different. They've all got to have the core foundation. A man's got to be lost. God's got to deal with that heart. That heart's got to turn to Christ. And y'all, when I simply did this, before it got out of my mouth, the Lord saved me.
Yes, sir.
You know why? Because He had to touch my heart before it touched my mouth.
Yes, sir. Amen.
You know all I simply said? Lord, save me.
Yes,
sir. And preacher, He did.
Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen.
And the only reason any of us is going tonight is what the Son of God done for us on the cross.
Yes, sir.
You say, where is He tonight, preacher? He's on the right hand of God. Make an intercession for all of His children. What you need tonight? I'd say this, according to the Word of God, if you want to trust Him, He'd let you trust Him tonight. He'd save you from all of your sin, all you've ever done. This old thief couldn't do a thing but cry out of his heart and trust the Lord. Lord, remember me.
Yes, sir.
Jesus said the greatest words he ever said today. Shalt thou be with me in paradise. This last night of camp meeting, far as I know, these folks have been so kind to stay in here and play. What you need tonight? You may be here and you've never trusted Christ. I don't know of a better night. Matter of fact, I seen something happen in our church one Sunday I've never seen since. It was in the storefront building before we ever had a building. I had the people to stand, sung an invitation. I seen a man step out of the aisle. He stepped back in his pew. And it's what I said, Brother Rick. Lord, please let him come. About 30 seconds, he stepped back out in that aisle, and here he come. He said, Preacher, I need the Lord to save me. He's in our church tonight. One of the kindest fellows I've ever met in my life, the Lord saved him. Are you saved? Eternity's too long to be wrong. Would you come to him tonight? You say, Preacher, I don't want to come by myself. I bet if you grab a hold of somebody, they'd come pray with you. These altars are open. Mom and Daddy, what you need tonight? What you need? Would you come and ask him to help you with what you need this evening? The Lord's here. You got a need in your life? He's here. Would you come talk with him? Would you come ask him to do something for you personally? He loves us all tonight. Ma'am, he'd save you if you'd come to him this evening. Sir, I don't care what you've done. The Lord would save you if you'd come trust him tonight. Would you make your way to an old-fashioned altar? Call upon Christ to save you. Would you come this evening? I'm glad once was enough. What he's done it forever. He's paid the price. Me and you could go free. Are you free tonight? Would you come? You say, Brother Ken, I'd come. What people think, that wouldn't bother me. It ought to be what you want to get settled in your heart tonight. The Lord cares for you. Would you come trust him this evening? He can do anything. He can do anything. It's not a person he can't save. It's not a prayer he can't answer. Not a problem he can't solve.